Rockauto.com.
Theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
WildTigerRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. You are listening to us on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be an interesting show, isn't it? Ever faithful co-host slash producer slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting show here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, at Rock Radio Show on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Linz Ward on Twitter. That was a thing.
So things happened tonight, today. We have some really big news. We have Backlash, we have NXT, and we're just, if you miss the tasteful side boob, if you're listening to this on the recording, you're not here before the show live, we do the thing, the tasteful side boob, where we just, you know, joke or give live reactions. But your luck, because we still haven't quite recovered from Deleter Decay, so, I think we need to live react to Deleter Decay, and my live reaction is what the hell.
All right, before we get into it, because there's some people who DVR the show and haven't seen it yet. So we're going to officially go.
Spoiler alert!
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay, I will say this. Cameras were better. You can tell they invested in it, like they said. The cameras were better. They were actual TV quality cameras. They invested in a lot more fireworks, which I'm still not 100% sure was safe.
We were shooting things directly at people. Three people with fireworks shooting at other people who had no protection other than Skarsgård. The drone had fireworks to shoot. We had chokings in water.
Okay, we had, like, people legit die in this, I'm pretty sure. We had a Joseph Park sighting. I want to know what's in Matt Hardy's lake. I really do. Does he just have, like, merpeople of wrestlers past swimming in his lake? Because last time Willow showed up, this time Joseph Park, former guest of the Rack, showed up and they killed him. They killed Joseph Park. I am so upset right now. You murdered Joseph Park. How dare you?
We think.
They put him in a grave and they buried him.
But then Abyss appeared, so we don't know if Joseph Park is... We don't know.
They are not the same person.
I know. He was looking for his brother Chris. I know. I get this.
They put him in the ground. They threw dirt on him. They buried him.
I understand this, but...
They carried him with a forklift.
Well, he's a big dude.
He's such a nice man.
I know. He wanted to come back and do our show again.
He's such a nice
man. He was such a nice man.
He's such a nice man. Damn it, Rob!
I guess officially.
Hashtag blame Rob.
I guess that's officially on Joseph Park, I assume. I don't know. Cannot confirm it.
You know, honestly, at this point, I think that is the official death, in quotations, of Joseph Park. Like, we're never going to see Joseph Park again after that.
I wonder if he deleted his Twitter, if his Twitter got deleted at this point. I don't know.
It came up with him when I tweeted him.
I understand this, but he did, I don't know.
Hold on.
We're going to live check his Twitter. As this. Matt, then she spat liquid at him, and then he caught it and spit it back at her, and...
Which is not hygienic.
No, it's not. I will say
that. Oh my Jesus, Joseph. He's okay. Never mind. He's fine.
He's alive. He's alive?
He just tweeted, I just had the weirdest dream ever. Crazy, huh? Thank God it was just a dream.
Wait, that was all just a dream?
So it's like Dallas?
I don't know.
If you're old enough to get that reference.
Hashtag, we skew older on this show.
We're old. We're really old. No, we're not.
No, we're not Tim Stein old, no. Because that's a whole other category of old. And if he's listening to the show, and I know he's not, he'd be offended that we called him old. But, or yell at me on Skype. But, either way.
Get off our lawn,
by golly, shakes hand. Fist, whatever.
Actually, I have a lawn. Get off my lawn. No, but this wasn't so much wrestling like the original Final Deletion was.
No,
this was a lot more of running through the woods and shooting fireworks at people, and this was much more movie like.
It's more like the compound visit.
Yeah, it kind of was, minus the pickaxes. Interesting,
no.
Isn't it?
No, here's the thing. They had their own version of the pickaxe. They had Janice that killed...
Janice is not a substitute for a pickaxe. Janice is Janice.
But it killed Brother Nero.
Yes. We don't know the status of Brother Nero, and as far as we know, the Decay? Is that what they're called now? I don't know.
Yes, they're the Decay. Rosemary just tweeted, RIP Brother Nero. Welcome, Benjamin Sr.
They kidnapped Sr. Benjamin. Oh, Jesus.
They kidnapped Sr. Benjamin and they killed Brother Nero.
So wait, if they killed Broken Jeff, or Broken, whatever he is.
Brother Nero.
Does that mean he's going to go back to normal?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Like, I still don't quite know what to think of this. Like, I'm still trying to process this. I will say the camera work was better. It felt more like a movie in that aspect, which was really interesting, because I think what made the Final Deletion what it was it felt very amateurish. You know?
Yeah. And this was more of a production.
This was more of a production. You could tell the way that it had been cut, that it had been directed, and that it... I mean, the Final Deletion literally was Matt and Jeff Hardy strapped a camera to a drone and chased each other through the woods all night. This was... They had cameramen. They had drones. They were cutting all over the place, which was, again, very similar to the compound visit. It's like we would go from being in the woods to being in the pool to being at the lake to being at the house... And the baby was there. Why was the baby there?
This baby is going to be scarred for life.
Okay, I understand it's wrestling. Completely 100% it's understanding that it's wrestling, this is fantasy, but legit. If people are coming to steal your baby, why would you stay there? When the people are coming to your house, number one. Number two, why would you leave the baby unattended in the house?
Ethan Carter III tweets, I'll never forget where I was when World War II ended, where I was when the man landed on the moon, and where I was when I first saw Delete or Decay.
I need to get drunk and watch it.
So, two people have been confirmed for WTR Riffs. We'll see if we can get the other two to be a part of it.
Omega! You are required to do this with us. If I had to watch it, you had to watch it. That's just it.
So, if you really want it, we will make it happen. And
we'll bribe Omega with Pokemon. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll get him on, and we'll do it, and we'll make it a thing, and you'll all enjoy it. But that was the Lead or Decay. It was a thing. It was very special.
I will say it was... It was on par with Final Deletion. I don't think it was as good as the original, if you could consider the original good. I wasn't really that fond of it, but if I have to compare the two, I would say the first one was better. Because to me, the first one was more about wrestling,
we knew the first one had a purpose.
The first one had a purpose. This was Rosemary was coming for the baby, and it just felt like this was more they were chasing each other around the woods with fireworks kind of thing. And I don't know.
This is why it was called the first battle in the Great War.
Jesus.
By the way, this whole Delete or Decay recap is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
Ding! Yeah. I mean, like I said, if I have to compare the two, I thought the final deletion was better. The camera work in this one is nicer. The actual production value is nicer in this one. But what the first one was better. And I think they're trying to duplicate what the first one was. And it just doesn't capture that same quality. Because the first one is literally just Matt and Jeff Hardy trying to kill each other. And, you know, there's always magic when Matt and Jeff try to kill each other. This was when you involve other people and you have other people, Matt and Jeff trying to kill other people. Because they were trying to kill other people in this. It just is, it's not the same. Like, there was a moment where it's like, Crazy Steve, oh god, Crazy Steve's dead. He's dead. Nope, he's fine.
His paint regenerated.
His paint regenerated in the pool. But yeah, they showed him, like, limp, floating in the pool.
After Jeff Hardy choked him out.
After Jeff Hardy drowned him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what they were going for with it, other than to make it kind of like a horror movie without the blood and the knives and such. But to me, it's like, I need to get drunk and watch it again. It'll make more sense to me drunk, I'm sure. I hope. I pray. Please, God.
So coming soon to WTR Riffs.
Delete or Decay.
So we need to do WTR Riffs on a Friday night.
We'll see what we can do.
Just saying, but...
Hold on, before we go on, because I know you want to move on to other things. First... It is 17-7 Carolina over Denver as we start the third quarter.
I think I played Cam. Ooh, I did play Cam Newton this week. I should be getting fantasy points. Points! Wait, we're drawing like his arm motion now.
Yep.
Cam, honey, you gotta throw the ball.
So, anyway.
You're gonna hurt yourself.
Whenever you hear this sound, this starting this week and going forward, means there's a score update on the football game that's going on currently. So now you people know what it will sound like when we interrupt you with sports scores.
Because football.
Football, and where we have high production values on this show.
Right.
We do. We do. We have interns who help with production.
When he can help?
Not him, other interns. We have multilingual interns.
Right. Anyway, we're going to move on to the regular news now.
Brought to us by Gerwick.net.
And TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. Just hit that plug one more time just for quality's sake. And we're going to lead with the biggest news of the week, or if you want to call it news. There is no confirmation on this. This is purely speculation, purely rumor, but there are facts in this story that line up to support what the rumors are. So I just want to preface that before we state this, that it is rumor. We're not 100% confirming it. We're not 100% denying it. We're only reporting what's being put out there right now. We could be wrong.
All right, so what's being put out there is this. According to Front Row Brian on Twitter, he's the one who sort of added to the story that's been speculated upon in recent days about the status of WWE superstar Paige. It was reported earlier this week by the Wrestling Observer newsletter that Paige has hired legal representation to help with a situation involving her WWE contract. Front Row Brian is reporting that Paige has indeed quit WWE and hired the legal representation to get out of said contract. That's the story.
That's the story. This is a very unique situation. It's very similar to the Punk situation, and the fact that Paige has essentially, based on all accounts, walked out on her contract with WWE. They have not released her from it yet. One of the biggest differences is that Paige has about 3 years left on her contract. It's been put out there that she has several years. I don't think she's in negotiation talks yet, so that would indicate she's above the 2 year mark, because they usually start renegotiating in about a year to 2 year range to get that all taken care of. So for Punk, he walked out, they didn't pursue it because he had about 6 months left on his contract. Paige, if she has multiple years left, that's problematic because they can hold her to that.
They have every right to hold her to that contract, because if she is choosing to quit, that is her choice, and she has to honor those commitments she made to the contract, and WWE will hold it to her because they've created an intellectual property with her not just in the ring, outside of the ring for Total Divas. She has two contracts with the company, so she has a long process to get out of contracts with WWE. The Total Divas one is going to be a very complicated one because of filming that she is currently doing. The season has not yet aired. It airs this fall on E! Network, coming to a rack extra near you, and, you know, syndication, etc., etc. So it's one of those complicated things. And then her performance contract, where Lindsay mentioned she has multiple years left on the deal. This is a tough situation, because there's one comment to make, and it's one you don't want to make, and we shouldn't have to make, but I'm going to make it anyhow. She's making a very dumb, foolish decision.
She's making a mistake. Just say it. She's making a mistake. Granted, we do not know all the facts. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Whatever her reasons are valid because she believes in them. And I'm not saying that her reasons are wrong. But this is your entire life. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this where it doesn't sound condescending, but it's like she's what, 24?
Just turned 24.
She's 24 years old. You have a multi-year contract with WWE. You cannot go any higher in the wrestling industry than where you are right now. You're sitting in a very plum position because she's likely to get pushed with the new Women's Revolution when she comes back, especially with the brand split, because now she's one of seven, as opposed to 14 on the roster for Monday Night Raw.
And she was going to be put in a position where she would be a key player on Monday Night Raw. Was she going to be the champion on Monday Night Raw? No, but she was going to be the second level of the girls on Raw, just based on her history in the company and her ability and all that. She'd be the number two below Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley.
And they would eventually probably put the title back on her again.
Oh yeah, but for the next year, she would be in the number 2-3 position. She would be the step to the belt.
Oh yeah. The flip side of that is she's on Total Divas for however long Total Divas lasts. That's money. She's getting paid two checks, one to do wrestling, one to do Total Divas, and she's getting paid, I would guess, relatively well to do both. As far as I know, Paige has no other form of any kind of other really training for any other kind of vocation other than wrestling.
Yeah.
Because she came to the... And that's not a shot. It's just... She grew up in a wrestling family. Mm-hmm. She's been wrestling since she was 13 years old. She came to the United States when she was around 18 years old to pursue wrestling.
Yep.
As far as I know, she does not have a college degree. She has never mentioned any other training outside of wrestling. This is what she's wanted to do with her life. This is where she's wanted to be. Granted, it was her father's dream for her to go to WWE, because I think ultimately she didn't want to leave England, but she did.
She did.
And she got here, and she went to the top. And they put a lot of time and money and effort into her. Mm-hmm. And now she's throwing it all away. Which, again, not judging her reasons are valid. But think about it. Think about it really hard. You're 24 years old.
You have a chance to make millions of dollars.
You have a chance to set yourself up for life to where you can live very comfortably and do what you want and do what you like and be with who you like once you're done. You have a chance to... She really has a chance to do what a lot of women don't have in the industry. She has a chance to make history. She has a chance to really break out and be something. And I know that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things when you're talking about, you know, there's the flip side of this, which I'll get to. But just in terms of looking at the bigger picture, looking at where her stock is, looking at how she's valued in the company, she's not going to get the opportunities in wrestling that anywhere else, like she would in WWE.
Correct.
She won't. She will not get those opportunities because there is no other company in the world, the entire planet Earth, that has the reach that WWE has. No one. Now, New Japan could take off. ROH could take off. TNA could take off. Anybody could take off. But here's the thing. She leaves. She has multiple years left. WWE has no compete, which means they can prevent her from competing for however long her contract is.
Which is why she hired legal representation to get that part removed from her contract.
There is precedent for this with Brock Lesnar, who left originally and there were 7 years left on his deal. WWE intended to hold him to those 7 years. He had to leave and go to Japan to compete because it doesn't count for international. So Paige can leave. She can go back to Europe and she can compete in Europe, depending on how her contract is set up.
Because they could have changed the rules based off of Brock Lesnar, we don't know.
We don't know. but this is based off Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar had to hire a lawyer, and they settled out of court where I think he ended up where he couldn't compete for like 2 years, and then he was good. It's like it wasn't the standard 90 days. It wasn't a year, but it wasn't the 7 years. I think it was like either 2 or 3 where he was not allowed to compete in the United States, and that's ultimately why he went to UFC, is because of that whole situation.
Right, and the only reason he was let out of his contract originally is because he was going to the NFL.
Right. So they can hold her to that, back to the original point, you know, and she can hire legal representation and she can try to get out of it.
And if she wins the case, that would be monumental in the wrestling business, because then, you know, other people can just get out of their WWE contracts and go everywhere they please if she wins the case. But I don't think it'll ever get to that point if there's a case involved, because they would eventually settle out of court, because WWE does not want that to be a thing.
Well, here's the trick with that. That's a very expensive venture that she's looking at. And WWE has the time and the money and the lawyers to drag it out.
Just ask CM Punk.
And they can drag it out for multiple years if they want. Mm-hmm. They can make this incredibly slow and incredibly painful, which is a dick move. I'm not going to lie. But it's WWE. We all know they're the champion of dick moves sometimes. So they can make her sit on the bench while she sues them for this, and while they sue her, and she's forced to sit it out and wait, mm-hmm. which means she can't wrestle. She can't work in the United States as a wrestler. Now, she can go get a regular job, and she can work a regular job. There's nothing stopping her from doing that. But seeing as her vocation is wrestling, she's not going to be able to go anywhere else and work anywhere else. That includes non-televised indies. That's a problem, because then she's left solely to rely on Alberto Del Rio to take care of her. And that's if she doesn't get deported, because I'm not sure what her immigration statuses. Not sure if she's a citizen or not. Don't know.
So if there's any lawyers out there,
there's anybody who knows, tweet us, email us. We'd love to know, honestly, just for my own curiosity. Then there's Alberto.
So Alberto Rio will be holding a press conference in Mexico tomorrow to talk about his status with World Wrestling Entertainment and beyond.
Okay, so the gist of that is he's done. We all know he's done. Given his notice.
Yeah, we mentioned this last week. He's done. But that's officially what it's been translated from Spanish, the Spanish report, according to superluchas.net.
So he's leaving. Alberto Del Rio is in the middle of a very messy divorce. His wife has him on infidelity. He has filed in Mexico. We're not sure where she has filed, whether she has also filed in Mexico or she's filed in Texas or Florida. Those are where they've lived. Don't know. Really, at this point, don't want to know. His wife kind of has him by the you-know-whats, because she has to agree to the divorce. She has to agree to the terms of the divorce, which means she can drag this out, again, for as long as she wants.
She has him by the Jesus zipper.
She has him by the Jesus zipper. Very good use of terms. So...
the Jesus zipper.
The Jesus zipper, yes. She has him by the Jesus zipper. So she can make this last as long as she wants. And again, she can make this as painful as she wants to make it, because it's her move. So if she doesn't want Paige to have him, guess what? She's going to make sure Paige can't have him just yet. That creates kind of an interesting dynamic.
You don't say.
Because here's the deal with this. Paige and Alberto want to be together. She's presumably leaving to be with Alberto because there's rumors flying that WWE threatened to fire her if she did not break up with Alberto Del Rio. I can speak. I swear to God. We know that WWE disapproved of the relationship. They had asked her to end it multiple times, to which she refused, and it's now led to this situation. So, Alberto, let's just, you know, this is pure all hypothetical. Alberto leaves. He goes to settle his divorce. Paige goes with them. Say it works out. Say they live happily ever after and they have 15 kids. Great. Wonderful. What happens if one of them changes their mind? Say she decides she doesn't want to be with him anymore, and she's now given up her career, her life, for him. What is she supposed to do? Say he dumps her. Say he believes he's made a horrific mistake with her, and he either goes back to his wife or he cheats on her with another woman and he dumps her for the other woman. She has again given up her career, her life, for him. What is she supposed to do? If the contract issue isn't settled with WWE, she's kind of screwed. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah. Yeah.
And again, this is all speculation. This is all based on rumors that are flying. But it's like, somebody needs to sit her down if this is true. This is all true. Somebody needs to sit her down and somebody needs to stop her because she's making a mistake. She's making a huge mistake. It's like, you want to be with him? Fine. Be with him. If the company disapproves of him, who cares? Once he's out of WWE, there is nothing they can do. Nothing. Because at that point, he's no longer a contracted employee. They cannot interfere in her personal life. The only time they can do that is if she's abusing drugs or alcohol and they can force her to go to rehab. Or unless it's an abusive relationship and they can prove it's an abusive relationship.
Here's a question, a thing I just thought of.
Hmm.
She's on Total Divas.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's on Total Divas.
Mm-hmm.
He also has to get out of that contract, too. More layers to the situation.
He might have only been signed on for...
the season, yeah.
The season, or he might have signed a waiver to just be on the show. He may not be under contract. He may not be like Brian and Cena.
Right, because they're on the spinoff, yeah.
Because they're on the spinoff. Whereas Del Rio was just there. It's probably like Rusev. Rusev probably just signed a waiver to be on the show. Because it's something of the people who are going to show up in their lives. They sign the waivers. They're not under contract. As far as I know, the mother and the brother of the Bella Twins are not under contract to E.
They are now.
They are now, because they're doing the spinoff, but when Total Divas started, they were not.
Okay. It was something I thought of as you were talking.
Yeah, but no, it's a good point. It's like, say Del Rio is under contract. That's another one that he has to get out of, but again, it's probably easier for him to get out of it than it is for her, because presumably he's done filming. If he says, that's it, I'm done, I've done all the stuff I'm gonna do, I'm not gonna make any more appearances, he can be like, okay, peace, later. Because she's the star of the show. It's Total Divas. It's not Total Del Rio. Just saying. Although it would be interesting to see what they air on that show, considering his divorce. Because that can technically prove his infidelity.
Yeah, it can. It really, really can.
Just pointing that
those things out. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. But so I hope this isn't true. I don't want this to be true. I want someone to stop her.
Well, Lindsay.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I know. I know.
I'm just saying.
It's all going to prove to be true, and she's going to leave, and she's going to make a mistake, and because here's the thing, if you leave on bad terms with WWE, they can make your life miserable in more ways than one. They can blackball you. They can see to it that you never get re-signed to the company, because it's like, you're not just pissing off Vince, you're pissing off Hunter. And Hunter's bound to take it a little bit more personally, considering all the time and the effort that he has put into making Paige. Like, she was the darling of NXT. She was the darling when she first came up, and she's been the darling of the Divas division. He has looked out for her. He has watched over her. He has taken care of her. And she just leaves.
Yep.
Dude, that's not smart.
By the way, I have an update from our earlier story of the day. Senior Benjamin has been abducted. I can speak. Brother Nero has been mutilated. Vanguard 1 is down and missing, and Rebby has been traumatized.
Is the baby okay?
No, I would assume so.
I'm mainly concerned about the baby.
I
really only care about the baby.
I know.
I severely worry for that child.
I know.
On, like, every level, but mainly psychological, but every level. I'm terrified that baby's going to go off a roof, because at this point, I wouldn't put
it past them. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll keep you informed in regards to the Paige situation. Like I said, all speculation, all rumor, but it's believed to be true based on the facts that have kind of trickled out based on this. So
that's why we brought it to your attention here tonight.
So a couple quick notes. Don't really have a good transition beyond speaking of NXT. NXT is heading to Japan on December 3rd. This is going to be a part of the Australia-New Zealand tour, so all the Japanese wrestlers get to go home and see their families, which is awesome.
They're also heading to California in a few weeks for a weekend house show tour,
which should be fun.
And they're also heading to Toronto, aren't they?
They are. NXT TakeOver is going Canadian, eh?
What you talking about?
They will be invading Toronto the night before Survivor Series for NXT TakeOver, which is exciting.
It is. There was a live event weekend scheduled for the end of this month that has been canceled because they're not running the same market twice in a short span. So those tickets will be refunded if you bought tickets. And you can buy tickets for NXT TakeOver Canada coming soon.
And speaking of NXT, one last note on them. Scotty Too Hotty has been announced as the newest trainer at the WWE Performance Center, so congratulations to him. He joins Matt Bloom, training the future.
Yeah, he's basically replacing Adam Pearce or at least one of the people replacing Adam Pearce, who moved up to the main roster when the brand split happened.
Another former guest star acting?
Shameless.
Hey, if we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk, yeah.
We're going to talk about it, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and let's see. Coming to the Performance Center sooner rather than later will be 7 brand new recruits from China. WWE just signed them, I believe today or yesterday. So, congratulations to them. I'm not going to try to pronounce the names. I will butcher your names. I do not want to do that to you. So, congratulations to the group. Welcome to the United States.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. We're not going to try to butcher their names. Go to WWE.com for their names. Okay? Cool.
Yes. Yeah. WWE.com. Ding! Do we want to do the injury roundup?
No, before we do the injury roundup, I want to do something really quick.
Oh, God.
No, it's good.
Okay.
We've been struggling through the best of 7 series. It's been Sheamus versus Cesaro, but Cesaro finally got his big win!
He did!
At a live event, so go Team Tim!
Oh, wait.
Wait, never mind. No points for you. No points for you. Now we'll do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So we have a legit one and then a storyline one.
Yes, we have the legit one in Tommaso Ciampa where he lost a tooth and part of his lip in a match this past weekend, so I hope he recovers quickly.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That took place at Bola at PWG this weekend.
And Chad Gable has a hamstring strain.
No, an MCL injury.
I'm sorry, MCL injury from his match this past week on SmackDown, where American Alpha, I should say, will be unable to compete this Sunday at Backlash, and there's going to be a tournament to determine who takes their places. So, feel better, in quotations, Chad Gable.
He'll be out 2 to 4 weeks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Gee, just in time for the next pay-per-view. Convenient.
Convenient. And we'll be previewing WWE Backlash later in the show.
Yes. And one final news item before we do the SmackDown Lowdown, the brand new segment on the show.
It's the SmackDown Throwdown now.
You changed the name.
I did.
God. You're supposed to tell me these things.
I forgot.
You jerk.
She now types it in the thing. Throwdown.
Because, you know, we just recycle the sheet every week, and we leave the segments in the sheet every week. So to make sure I don't call the wrong thing next week, I'm changing it. Production right here on the show. Yay! One last final note. Stephanie McMahon's new book has been pushed back to 2017 due to, I guess, delays for writing. I don't know.
To quote her, I thought I was done writing hashtag unreal book, but realized I have much more to share. It'll be now available in 2017. So close, but yet so far.
Yay.
So look forward to that book in 2017.
Yes. I personally can't wait. I'm excited. I want to see what she has to say.
Same here.
You know, Steph, if you want to come out that you're secretly married to The Undertaker, I'm totally okay with that.
Now we're going to do the SmackDown Throwdown?
After the awkward silence, yes. Now we're going to do the SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Production values.
You actually have an intro for this. I'm stunned.
Told you we have production. Told you. We have full-on production for this show now.
Yay. So, well, where do you want to start?
There's only one place to start. And basically, here's what the SmackDown Throwdown is going to be. It's going to be our favorite moments from SmackDown and sometimes things we didn't like. Okay? It's not going to be like a post-show or anything. Just little quick tidbits. So for LeMans and everyone else who actually wanted the SmackDown segment, here you go.
Yep, we figured it out.
We did. So there's one thing that has to be talked about.
Oh.
Heath Slater and his kids. That's it.
Oh my Jesus.
And it wasn't even on the show. It kind of was. If you go to WWE's Facebook page, there's a video of the introduction of his kids. It's amazing. You have to see it. It's awesome.
Heath Slater has a 17-year-old son in storyline. He had the kid when he was 15. Heath! No. No. Wrong. Just
so wrong. Yeah.
I wanted this to be on TV. This needed to be on TV. Because it literally was, what the hell, for like 10 minutes. because he went through and he introduced all his children, including the one that doesn't have the tongue. And he's doing this to get his little girl a tongue.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. He just went for it.
He did. He really, really did.
He owned this. It was hilarious. Whatever they're doing with East Slater, just keep this up. This is amazing. Just...
Yeah, so after the show, go and listen to it on WWE's Facebook page, or probably their YouTube channel at this point. It is an amazing piece of television, as it were. There's the awkwardness at the beginning, and we'll talk more about that during Backlash.
Boo-boo?
We'll get to him in a second, but I'm talking about the women. They were very awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the writing was just okay, but Becky Lynch was adorable.
So that makes up for things.
That makes up for things because she was like, they all just kind of realized that Becky was pitting them against each other, and she was like, no, I would never do that. No, no, never. And then it's like, at some point, they all start to gang up her, and she's like, all right, fine, I will take all of you all at once. Who wants it first?
So something I found out. So during her entrance, she throws her hat into the crowd, right?
Yeah.
She signs every hat she throws and dates them in location.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so on the top of the hat, it's her signature's on the hat.
That just makes it better.
It does.
Because then it's like you actually catch her hat and she signed it for you.
Yeah, and you knew where you were when you got it. That's kind of cool. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Go, Becky.
The one thing we need to talk about before we get to Bray Wyatt, because we'll talk about Bray Wyatt here in a second, Kane.
Oh my Jesus.
Kane has a new role to come out and beat up people.
He's the bouncer of SmackDown.
He's the bouncer of SmackDown, the segment killer. He came out... when Fandango was in the ring after he was trying to do the Fandango dance with the girl, who we thought was a makeup lady, probably.
Yeah, I think it was one of the makeup ladies.
And Kane comes out, lays Fandango out with a chokeslam, and then before he walks off, he does the Fandango finger point, and I died laughing when he did the finger point.
Because just the expression on his face, he's looking down at Fandango, he's got this just deadpan expression on his face, and he does the points, and then he leaves. It's like, Kane, no. But then again, he ran around, like, hugging people for a year, and then there was the whole corporate Kane thing that we're not even going to get into. He's special. He has multiple personalities.
And then there was Bray Wyatt.
Boo-boo.
A much better promo than the previous week on SmackDown.
Yes, this was much more focused. This felt like he was more into it. I like the way that they shot it. They had him backstage in the chair, and the camera was pointing up to him as if he was you were kind of like either kneeling or sitting in front of him. And it was almost like he was telling you a story, which is, that's the best kind of Bray Wyatt. I really liked it. I'm still not sure about the feud. You had Randy cut another promo later in the show that was, I would say, equally as good. I think it's just difficult for this feud because Randy just doesn't care. And I almost feel like Bray and Randy should be frenemies because they have that really similar mindset. And it's just like them almost trying to outdo each other in terms of how sick and twisted they are.
Yeah, and we'll get more into that here in a bit when we preview Backlash coming up.
Yes. Yes.
But that's sort of the SmackDown throwdown for this week. It'll get deeper as we go when there's not a SmackDown pay-per-view. We'll talk a little bit more about the show, sort of work it out. We're trying to fine-tune things. And I'm just going off the top of my head what I remember from SmackDown.
Yeah, because there really wasn't a lot from SmackDown, which was kind of disappointing because this was the go-home for Backlash, and you think that they would have pushed it really hard. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. Oh, one thing we forgot. AJ Styles gave Dean Ambrose a receipt for his Jesus zipper.
He did.
He brought AJ a bowling trophy that he just had. We don't know how he got it. He didn't win it, but he just had it. So he brought it for AJ because, you know, and then he proceeds to tell AJ, we don't give trophies out for the face that comes in second place. It's like, oh, Dean, well done.
CJ Anderson scores. It is now a 17-13 ball game. If they make the extra point, it'll be 17-14.
I think I have him on one of my fantasy teams.
I think you do.
Yay.
I think you do. I think you do on that one. So, yeah, there you go. We have a ball game on our hands as we're live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the multi-time award-winning The Rack. And on all that note, I say we take our first time out of the evening.
I agree. So when we come back, we are talking all things NXT. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Card. Oh god, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my god, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear god.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. Are you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flow Rider's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for an excuse to be home on a Saturday night?
Here, I'm going to read my 100 calls, okay? You ready for this, Rob? These are all the characters I've downloaded in 2 weeks.
Did you put this in alphabetical order?
It puts them A through C, but you're going to get a mix. A lot of them, like Mortal Kombat, you're going to have wrestlers, you're going to have superheroes. Ronda Rousey, right off of that was the first character I fucking think I downloaded. I ain't going to lie, dude. She's pretty badass, and she kicks ass, too. You got Ronda Rousey. Now it goes in order. That's right, she had a space in her name. Asuka, AJ Lee. Some of these, it's the only reason I got them is because of the face. Okay. Batgirl. I got Catwoman, this old school Catwoman, this different kind of Batgirl. There was so much Batman shit. Dark Phoenix. I'll tell you what. Now, this is the character I always make. Jean Grey, the Phoenix character. I always try to make the bird and the chest. It's a character I always try to make. And this character is badass, finally. I got it right. I have two Harlequins. One kind of like a more modern, not the newest one from the Suicide Squad, but it's from the video game. She's got pants and a top and painted face. And then I have original looking old school fucking Harlequin with the full suit and stuff like that. Very cool. Gail Kim, which again was in the face, and I was like, oh man, this is badass. Julia from Hellraiser. Rob, I shit you not, it's a chick, and it's all flesh showing.
Ooh.
Now, remember the Hellraiser? Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Some of these, like, I'm telling you, dude, I was like crying. I'm like, why can't I have 200 claws slots? I'm like, I had to delete people. I had to delete the Nasty Boys. Oh yeah, it was a nightmare. You should have saw me, like, struggling one night.
Then tune in Saturday nights at midnightish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Scarlett Johansson, the Black Widow, and her face perfectly done. Mortal Kombat.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211, and that music signifies the one, the only, the NXT review, because it doesn't really have a title, but why not?
We're going to have to come up with a special name for NXT now.
No.
I really like her theme.
I do too. It's nice.
It's the first time I really heard it. I like it.
I just really like Ember Moon in general. I'm not even going to lie. She's just, God, she's so badass.
Let's start with her. We'll bump around through the show. She took on Lita Vaughn in this one. Her kicks are intense.
I want Ember Moon versus Asuka so bad.
The top rope flipping stunner is amazing.
Oh my God.
The match she had was just okay, but those were the key points picked out in this one.
I think when you put her against somebody, and this isn't a shot against the girl she was against, but obviously it was to showcase Ember Moon and to not really be much more than that, to see her against someone like Asuka, oh my Jesus, that's going to be so good. And I can't wait.
You build to it. Don't go, if you go to it right away, you're going to burn that out. But yeah.
Build to it, but it's like, I think you're going to have to bring some of the other girls back in because the women's division is in such a state right now that you're trying to rebuild it. And I just don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to give Ember Moon the proper competition based on the division right now.
But they always seem to find a way, though.
They always seem to find a way, but I wouldn't mind seeing them bring Carmella in one more time or bringing Alexa Bliss in. Or Nia Jax, or anybody like that, just bring a couple people back down for one more match kind of thing to showcase Ember Moon, to help build Ember Moon up, to build her up for Asuka. Because, you know, obviously, speaking of Asuka, went out there, she cut a promo basically saying that nobody was fit to challenge her.
I respected Bayley. Bayley was part of NXT. Bayley fought hard, but I fought harder. She was asked about remaining undefeated. How she fought against Nia, Carmella, Alexa, Bayley. She talked about how the women got saved because they don't have to face her anymore. She then was asked about representing Japan. Championship is important to her. I defend this title for myself and my country. To my fans in Japan, I don't know what she said. She spoke Japanese. Then she was asked if anyone is ready to face her. She said more Japanese and then no one is ready for Asuka. I liked her promo.
It was a good promo and she's honestly right. She's gone through the entire division. There is nobody left to really face her at this point. They have to build all the girls back up to challenge Asuka. So, It'll be interesting to see.
It will be interesting to see. Opening the show was TM61 taking on Tony Nese and Sean Daivari's brother, Aria Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good match.
I thought it was a great match. Very entertaining.
The Cruiserweights were on showcase here against TM61. Nese had a nice twisting dive over the ropes. Then one of the TM61 guys did a nice dive as well. Nese did some sort of stalling suplex and then dropped him on the top rope, hitting Ryan Neva, which is good. There was a bunch of near falls, including one off a frog splash for Nese and Daivari. TM61 hit Thunder Valley for the win, TM61.
I would say points, but I don't have them anymore, so.
Steve Cutler was talking about his opportunity about facing Shinsuke. What did Shinsuke face? Sacrifice. He came from Japan, he won the NXT title. I've sacrificed for this for 4 years. I don't care if you like me or not, or you will respect me. It's like, that was a very generic promo, if I say so myself. Very, very generic.
Well, Steve Cutler's kind of generic.
He is very, very generic. And he lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. Here's my notes for that match, which was the main event. Joe was on commentary. Joe said Shin was a better man at TakeOver. Graves said, how do those Nakamura kicks feel? Joe said, they suck, Corey.
Grade A commentary. Go, Joe, go. Points.
Cutler tried to hang with Shinsuke, couldn't. Kinshasa for the win. And then Joe just looked, stared him down, and left.
Joe is so upset right now.
He really, really was. Noah Jose was asked about being disrespected. Talked about Bobby Roode's shoes and socks and being glorious. He's never changed for anyone. No way. Says you don't mess with No Way Jose. Simple promo.
Simple yet effective.
Ciampa was getting checked on by the doctors. Gargano came in. He's getting better. Ciampa's getting better. They got a match next week at the CWC live show. And they say they are better than ever. And they're going to hit the revival where it hurts the most by taking their titles.
Do the thing, y'all. Do the thing. Please do the thing.
And we also had Andrade Cien Almas take on Austin Aries. This was a solid matchup. I can't click with Cien Almas right now. There's something there that's not connecting. The match was fine, but something's not connecting with him.
It's just he doesn't really have a character right now. He's this very dashing, handsome man in a feather hat with ripped white pants. But that's his character, and it's like I need more to connect with him. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he's entertaining. There isn't that, oh my god, I'm in love with him and want to have his children kind of feeling.
Okay, somewhere I was going with that, but we'll use that as a good analogy, I suppose.
Oh, come on, you want to have his kittens. You totally want to have someone's kittens.
Anyway, Austin Harris picked up the win which was nice. He caught him coming off the top or off the springboard into a powerbomb into the last chancery. That was nice.
That was nice. And also points.
You don't have Aries now.
I don't have Aries anymore.
Do you?
I don't know. Who's on my team?
Team Lindsay is Wyatt, Rude, Tommy, Bella, Breezango, Bliss, Joe, and Banks.
Oh. Sorry. Not points. But go, Austin.
Mike has Austin Aries now.
Ah, okay.
He was one you had to sacrifice in the great lore. That is WTR fantasy.
Well, I think I gave him up because there's a chance that... Oh, that's right, because he and Hideo were feuding. And I had to take one of them and say, I'll take Hideo, because Hideo's cuter.
So Denver is trying to get into the end zone to take the lead. Oh, I forgot.
Because he has no transition for the other thing.
That was it. That was the show. That was the show.
That was the show. I know, but there's no, there's no transition for me to say because I took Hideo because he's cuter. Strategy. There's just nothing. She has nothing.
She has a glorious strategy where she took Bray Wyatt and Sasha Banks and Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami and Breezango. She's team cute?
Team fluffy.
Team fluffy?
We're still team fluffy because I still have one fluffiness. And he's very fluffy. Good lord, CJ Anderson on my fantasy team has got me 22 points just on his own.
And if he scores this touchdown, he may get you more.
Do the thing! Do the thing! Because points.
But will he do the thing? We'll let you know on the other side of this break.
We will. So when we come back, we are doing Tweet of the Week and Backlash. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Right back.
Mm-hmm.
and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also a fine hello to everyone listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net. If you're just joining us, you missed our news segment, you missed NXT, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty.
Hold on. They're doing another version of Blair Witch.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't. I did not know this.
How is it? I know that and you don't.
Because you didn't tell me.
You have a television. And the interwebs. And Tumblr.
Okay. I didn't know. Thanks, people, for letting me down. Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Kyle O'Reilly tweeted Kevin Owens saying, "You smashed my trophy," with a little emoji crying. Wait. Who scored it? Anderson! Yay! Points.
10 plays to go 23 yards. That's awful offense.
Is that Peyton Manning?
No, where?
Number 13?
No. Peyton's number 18, and he was in the booth earlier.
You could have suited up.
No, 13 is Trevor Siemian.
Who?
The quarterback, Trevor Siemian.
Who?
Exactly.
Never heard of the dude.
No one did until today.
He looks like Manning with a helmet on.
That's, I could say, racist. Anyway, it's 20.
He's tall and lanky.
Tall, lanky, and white. Peyton Manning. I don't know if he knows how to say Omaha yet.
They'll teach him.
Though they got Peyton to say Omaha earlier.
Of course they did. Everybody take a shot. It's football.
Anyway, tweets.
Kyle O'Reilly, "You smashed my trophy." Sad emoji. Kevin Owens replies, "You have had to pay to check it on your flight home. I saved you money." Sami Zayn, "Kansas City, London, Manila, Shanghai, Baltimore, around the world in 7 days with 5 shows on 3 continents. Rock and roll, man, rock and roll." Jimmy Jacobs replies, "Rock and roll, man, rock and roll, just like the electric shoes." Kevin Owens replies, "It's wrestling, idiot." I believe he also told, and then he goes, "Jimmy, no." WWE tweeted, will Roman Reigns join Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins at Clash of the Champions? And Kevin Owens goes, no.
One.
Roman Reigns, round the world in 5 days, then I'm going to kick Kevin Owens' ass. Ah, yes, sir. To which Kevin Owens goes, watch your language and your punctuation. Why the period after the exclamation point? Get a grip, Roman. And then he promotes his own interview with Michael Cole by saying, Michael Cole says things, I mostly disregard them and talk about whatever I want.
The best part of that whole interview was he told Michael Cole to leave his own little interview area.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Bless Kevin Owens. Bless him so much.
And he did an interview a few weeks ago and basically said El Generico is dead.
Which he's not. He's okay. He's at an orphanarium in Mexico.
Continue.
That's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay. Oh, where to begin? I guess we begin at the beginning, I guess. The fake ESPN. Tim Tebow has been offered a best baseball contract from a Venezuelan team. Unlike his sex life, Tebow hopes to make it to pass first base.
Ouch.
ProWrestling.net. Headband AJ Styles looks like an 80s teen comedy jock villain. Tommy Dreamer. Cool to hear Bully Ray 5150 landed safely 7:02 a.m. in Oklahoma and is back on Indie Scene 5 States Felt. Oh wait, I read that trend wrong. Hashtag earthquake. Tommy's getting a little revenge. Well done, Tommy. Fat jokes. Fake ESPN. The Vikings have traded for Sam Bradford. Teddy Bridgewater in a wheelchair gives them a better chance than Sam Bradford. The Vikings have traded Sam Bradford, so they basically replace one GIMP QB for another. Not SportsCenter. Breaking, Sam Bradford is out for the season after tearing 5 muscles in his arm while packing for Minnesota. Vikings still need a quarterback. The Blue Meanie, the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles, we rolled up our sleeves. Of course, Sammy sleeves and everything like that. By the way, check out the Rack Extra Sam Bradford reaction, now available at RackRadioShow.com.
He was so happy.
I was. Chris Fullerton tweets Chris Jericho, can you settle a disagreement? I say you're the best wrestler ever, ring plus mic, and my friend is wrong. Your friend is a stupid idiot. Not SportsCenter. Mark Sanchez has been claimed off waivers by Greenwood Lakes Middle School, where he will compete for a chance to be the number 3 quarterback. Update. Turns out another middle school team placed a claim on Mark Sanchez before Greenwood, the Dallas Cowboys. Brandon Lee Goten. Where 2015 Eagles training camp quarterbacks are now. Bradford, Vikings starter, Sanchez, Cowboys backup. Barkley, free agent, Tim Tebow, baseball? Mark said, the fake ESPN, Mark Sanchez, disappointing and mediocre career is the perfect fit for the Cowboys' 8-8 season. This is a hashtag, how to confuse a millennial. Be racist, homophobic, transphobic, etc. Yet also complain about this generation being disrespectful. This is very true. Same hashtag. Rant about how everyone gets a trophy these days while sipping from your world's greatest dad coffee mug. This is also true. Criticize them for being on their phones 24/7, then run to them when you don't know how to operate the remote. Hashtag how to confuse a millennial. These are all things. Bubba Ray Dudley. In church today, preacher spoke of Midian. Weird. Imagine naked Midian doing a run-in at the Last Supper. Hashtag go Jesus go.
Oh my god.
Not SportsCenter. Johnny Manziel has rolled at Texas A&M. Here's his class list schedule. Includes Beer Pong 101, Intro to Dr. Seuss, Remedial Football, Sliding into DMs 204. Becky Lynch, I've become well acquainted with failure, but me and Victory are about to become besties. It all comes down to backlash. Sports Pickle. Mr. Met reportedly furious about Mets hiring new mascot, Tim Tebow. Not Bill Walton. Mets have signed Tim Tebow. Not only have they signed a guy who has never scored, but he's never gotten past first base. Fake ESPN. Tim Tebow signing with the Mets makes perfect sense. The last time he played for a professional New York sports team, it worked out great. Fake SportsCenter. Tim Tebow officially becomes the first pro athlete to remain a virgin while playing for 2 New York sports franchises. The Blaze tweeted, former NFL player Tim Tebow signs contract with Mets. Carl Stern goes, Tim Tebow signs with the New York Mets. At the end of the week, his MMA record will still probably be the same as CM Punk's.
Ouch!
Darren Rovell tweeted, fair warning, I will eat Tom Brady's new nuts and review them at 11 a.m. on Periscope tonight. Sarah Baker, okay, yeah? He did actually review Tom Brady's nuts. You can buy Tom Brady's nuts. He sells his nuts now.
Okay.
And finally, Conan O'Brien, if you scream in fake German for 30 seconds, at least one of those made-up words will be the name of a German pastry.
Maybe.
Maybe. Possibly. Anyway, Tweet of the Week. That's it.
So that's Tweet of the Week.
Or a.k.a. taking shots at Tim Tebow.
Because he didn't sign with the Braves! Yes!
He signed with the New York Mets.
Thank Jesus. Literally. I'm Tebowing right now, because thank Jesus he didn't sign with the Braves. Although I'm kind of sad, because he would have gone to the AAA team, and I could have gone over to Gwinnett and, like, booed him. Very upset. But he's not with the Braves. Very excited about that.
Anyway, that brings us to the pay-per-view this Sunday, the SmackDown-only pay-per-view, only on the WWE Network.
Backlash. The return of Backlash.
The return of Backlash. So, let's start with the tag team situation, shall we?
Because it's awkward. It's all kinds of awkward.
So, as we mentioned in the Blame Brands, Chad Gable has been taken out.
Yes.
He will be out 2 to 4 weeks. So what they have to do is now they're taking the two losing teams, and the winner of that match will then face Heath Slater and Rhino later on in the finals. The two teams going forward are the Usos taking on Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder. Who you got?
Who are the teams again?
The Usos versus the Hype Bros.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I heard that right. Because I'm not sure. My brain still has not recovered from Deleter Decay. Honestly, they're going against...
It'll end up being the winner of this faces Heath Slater and Rhino.
I'm going to go with the Hype Bros.
Why?
Because you're trying to build the Usos as heels. Well, no, having them lose to the Hype Bros doesn't work. Never mind. Sorry. Usos. Picking the Usos. Because you're trying to build them as heels, so it makes sense you put them against Rhino and Slater. They try to do some shenanigans. They lose to Rhino and Slater. Maybe. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Feel good, 21-20.
We got us a game!
We do have ourselves a ball game, folks. I'm going to go with Usos as well, because Lindsay mentioned their heels. They need to go and get the thing. Magic 8-Ball says the Hype Bros. The video game says the Hype Bros. So now, in our land, Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos.
Excuse me. I can't imagine that they're going to take Slater this far.
Because the idea of this is if Heath Slater wins, he gets a SmackDown Live contract.
This is hard. Because the free agent gimmick is really entertaining. But it's pretty obvious that Heath is going to end up on SmackDown.
If he went to Raw, he would be lost in the shuffle on Raw. He'd be Jinder Mahal, and we don't need him to be Jinder Mahal. He won't go any higher than this, probably, where he's at right now, but still. He's better on SmackDown.
He's better on SmackDown. I kind of want to see... It's like, I'm really conflicted, because part of me really wants the free agent gimmick to continue, because it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's going to get old. And at some point, he has to either be dismissed completely... Or he has to get a contract with somebody. And I think this is going to be that point where it's like you have Slater and Rhino win, and then you can have the Usos challenge. Oh, wait, I have a question.
Okay.
Before I do this, because I just thought of it. Do Slater and Rhino have to just win the match, or do they have to win the titles?
The match is not going to end the disqualification. It's going to be like the Universal Championship match. There will be no disqualification because you have to create a champion.
Then, through some stroke of dumb luck, Rhino and Slater. If there's no DQ, Rhino and Slater will somehow end up winning.
Rhino gores Slater, Usos win.
You think?
I'm going out on a limb on that one. I'm just throwing it out there as an idea. I could see him accidentally goring Heath Slater, and then Heath Slater will be all upset, and his kids will be crying, and all that fun stuff. Like, I know this is, like, I'm going to go with the prediction, even though Heath Slater's going to win. I know this, but I'm going with that prediction. It's a thin scenario in my head. It just sort of makes sense. And then you can have Slater feud, and he'd be upset at Rhino, and he can feud with Rhino and do something there.
But he'd have to be under a contract to feud with Rhino. See, what I can see happening is Slater and Rhino win the titles, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the Usos get a rematch, either on that SmackDown following, or in the weeks in between Backlash and whatever the next pay-per-view is.
No Mercy.
No Mercy. And that's when you have them drop the titles. Because all Slater needs is to win the titles to get the contract. Because that's the whole point, is for Slater to get the contract, to get him signed. So you can have him drop the titles almost immediately afterwards, where you either have Rhino betray him, or you have Rhino screw up and they feud with each other, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you do that feud between those two. At which point Rhino will leave after that to go run for office, because he's running for office right now. And then the titles go on the Usos, and then the Usos can run the tag division for a while.
Because the feud is going to be Usos versus American Alpha. That's the idea. That's the end game. So eventually Heath Slater and Rhino will have to lose the belts.
See, I can see them doing it on that SmackDown right after. Like, the Usos go to Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, and that's why I'm saying there's some kind of, like, through just pure dumb luck, Rhino and Slater win. And the Usos go to Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan or both and say, you know, this is crap. We want a rematch. They get the rematch and they beat them. Because then it's just a standard match.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I'm going with Usos.
We're divided. A house divided.
No! And you're going with Heath Slater and Rhino. 8-Ball goes with Heath Slater and Rhino, and so does WWE 2K16. Now we move on to the 6-way elimination match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. You have Naomi, Carmella, Alexa, Nikki, Becky, and Natalya. This is an elimination match, which means all kinds of things. We're going to see it's going to be a lengthy match. What I don't want to see happen is for some of the newer girls to be treated like afterthoughts. Because in this matchup, you have a couple stars, Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, and Natalya. They are the established stars. Naomi's in there, but let's be real, Naomi's not winning this match.
Yeah, as much as I want her to, Naomi's not winning.
Naomi's not winning this match.
Alexa's not winning. Carmella's not winning.
And that's where I have a little bit of a problem. It would be great for this division to see someone like Alexa or Carmella get the belt at the start.
I would agree with that. I really 100% do, and if they had done more work to establish Carmella and Alexa, especially as heels, I would be 100% on board with that. But the problem is it's like they really have made no effort to build Alexa and to build Carmella. They've only started working on both of them, and that was because they were putting all their efforts into Eva Marie, and then Eva Marie got suspended. And so now they're kind of scrambling with everybody else to try and create storylines for the six-pack challenge, because I think originally it was supposed to be Eva Marie ending up with the title. And you had Nikki Bella come back into play as well. Which,
right,
it's like, there's a nice continuity for them there, where it's you have your longest-reigning Divas champion establish the women's title on SmackDown.
But it also sends an image of Divas if she wins the belt off the bat, which is not the image you want to portray.
But it's the comeback story. That's the thing with Nikki, is it's this huge comeback story where she's been gone for almost a year or right at a year, and, you know, she trains so hard and she's coming off a really bad neck injury, and she comes back to SmackDown and she wins the title and she's, you know, the first ever women's champion for SmackDown. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Naomi or Becky or Alexa or Carmella win this match. I would love to see anybody but Nikki and Natty win this match. And that's not a shot at Nikki and Natty. But to me, it's like,
they're the past.
They're the past. I hate to say that, but they are the past. I want to see one of the present diva, or I'm sorry, women, sorry, reflex, trying to do it.
Superstars.
Superstars win that title and carry it forward very similarly to how you had Charlotte do it. But I don't think they're going to go in that direction because, again, the newer women, with the exception of Becky Lynch, aren't established enough. They really, really aren't. And it's like, if you're going to introduce a new title, you need to have somebody strong win it. Because the person that wins that title first, the entire reputation of that title is based on it. Which, thank God, Eva Marie got suspended when she did.
Good timing on that one.
Good timing on that one. That is a shot at Eva Marie, because, unfortunately, her reputation is a joke. The fans don't take her seriously, even though she's put in a tremendous amount of hard work. The fans do not take her seriously, and it's like the last thing you want is the women's title to be taken as a joke. Because, let's be real, the Divas title came from SmackDown. When it was created on SmackDown.
Which is why you don't need the second coming of the Divas title on SmackDown.
No, you don't. You really don't. And it was with as much work as they put into the women's revolution and the women's division in general, you don't want either title considered a joke. You want both titles to be considered legit. Which is why, again, it's like, thank God it's not going on Eva Marie. Honestly, I want Becky to win it. I want Becky to win it really bad. I feel like Becky has her due coming, but I don't think it's yet. I think it's going on Nikki.
Alexa Bliss. Establish someone new with the championship. Alexa Bliss. Have Becky challenge Alexa for the belt going forward. Have Nikki go with Carmella. Natty and Naomi do a thing. But I would put it on Alexa. Have a heel win it.
Maybe.
I want the Evil Sparkle Fairy to win. That's who I'm going with.
I want Becky to win. I want Becky to win so bad, but she's not going to.
That said, video game win with Alexa. Magic 8 Ball win with Nikki.
Interesting!
Very, very. And here's the thing. Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow. Since you can't do a six-way match in the video game other than a battle royal, which I thought when I originally simmed it was going to be a bad idea, and then it turned out it was an elimination match, so it worked out. So you see elimination, elimination, elimination. It boiled down to Nikki and Alexa.
Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. Of course, I have the bump both on my team, so, you know, if Alexa wins, points. If Nikki wins, points.
If they both lose, you lose a lot of points.
Yeah, but I got two horses in the race, so we'll see.
So you're good on that one. But, yeah. So those are those picks on that match. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. Okay. I'm gonna make this simple, short, and sweet. There is no way Dolph Ziggler should win this Intercontinental title. His promos have been awful. I can't get behind him any longer because I'm tired of him complaining about opportunity after opportunity. And eventually he's going to win the big one. And he's going to win the big one. He's going to win the big one. And then he loses the big one. He loses the big one. And is this really more important than the World Heavyweight title that he lost last month? No, it's not. I really like the push they're giving Miz. The Miz has a lot of confidence. I don't want to see Dolph Ziggler with the Intercontinental title. Dolph Ziggler has been a 17,000-time Intercontinental champion, and what has he ever done for the Intercontinental title? Has he ever elevated the championship? No, he has not. He's kept it as a mid-card title, and it was a mid-card joke when he held the title. People keep saying it about The Miz, but at least The Miz is consistent with the belt, and he's not flip-flopping the belt around. There's no need for Dolph Ziggler to have the title. Miz wins.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. It's like, I like Dolph Ziggler. I've always liked Dolph Ziggler, but I'm tired of Dolph Ziggler. I'm tired of his attitude. I'm tired of him being the same person he was 5 years ago. I'm tired of him trying to be like Shawn Michaels. It's like, he's a fantastic talent, but his attitude is just, I can't. You know, I feel like this is the consolation prize for him losing to Dean Ambrose. And you can tell that he's not happy about it. You can tell, based on the way that he's acting, that it's like, this is exactly what I said. This is a consolation prize. We're not going to give you the World Heavyweight Championship, but we'll will maybe give you the IC title. Because that's all they really see him as. They don't see him as a world heavyweight champion. They see him as an IC champion at best. And that's where they're going to keep him. But honestly, I think Miz, just for name value alone, brings more prestige to the title than Dolph Ziggler. But you could also have Miz drop the title and get moved back into the world heavyweight picture, too, to challenge Dean Ambrose. There is that. Or challenge AJ Styles, depending on who wins, which we'll get to. But I think for right now, Miz keeps it.
8-Ball says Dolph Ziggler, video game says Dolph Ziggler. Wow. Pass. It was 4th and 21, Denver with a pass interference. 5-yard penalty, automatic first down. Wow. That is crushing.
Because Harris put his hands on the dude's face.
Yep. And that's a penalty. And now Carolina gets new life in the game. We'll keep you updated. It is in the final 2 minutes of the game. Up next, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, go.
This one's been an interesting one. It has not had the build that you would expect it to have. Everyone, at least me, and I think Rock as well, thought that there were going to be some shenanigans in the Randy Orton-Brock Lesnar match that would sort of ignite this feud. It didn't happen. Instead, you just had Bray Wyatt challenge Randy Orton. They haven't been feeling it. You can tell they haven't really been feeling it, like I said earlier. It almost feels like to me that this feud would be a little bit better is if you had Randy and Bray as sort of frenemies, if you will, that they have this really odd alliance with each other, where it's almost like, how sick can you go? How far are you willing to go where they're trying to one-up each other in terms of how twisted they are? How not unstable. Unstable's the wrong word. But just how awful they are. Again, awful's a bad choice of word, but I don't want to use twisted again. How sick. Whatever.
Sick? Sadistic?
Sadistic, yeah. I mean, all those different things. Just push them to see how far, you know, they're willing to go type thing. And they just didn't do that. Instead, you've kind of had sort of a half-assed feud at best between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. And it's just like I said, Tuesday was better. The promo was better. But
part of it, sorry to interrupt, is because Randy Orton has had staples in his head and he couldn't do anything physical. Which is why Bray Wyatt's done magic cuts whenever there's been a physical conversation about to happen, because Randy Orton had 10 staples in his head, so he can't do anything. So that has thrown sort of the feud off a little bit, which is why it was an awkward challenge instead of, oh, Bray attacks Orton and then there's a challenge made, said, oh, look, Bray just challenges him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it, is Randy has staples in his head. And I get that, where they haven't been able to do the physical confrontations, which is why it's like, you could do them trying to one-up one another, and then somebody, and then the challenge comes.
But, and again, when you only have 3 weeks between a pay-per-view, you're kind of in an awkward spot as well.
Yeah, and it's the push to get Bray Wyatt on a pay-per-view, because he was left off of SummerSlam. He has not had a decent feud since Survivor Series, so this is his first really big feud, not counting New Day, because that was with the family. This is the first solo feud Bray Wyatt has had, really, almost since Mania of last year. Because the family reunited shortly after Mania last year, and he was with the family, and they feuded, but since Survivor Series, he really hasn't had anything short of the stuff at Mania he did with The Rock, but that was Rowan. But anyway, so this is a huge opportunity for Bray Wyatt. They're trying to get him on the pay-per-view. They're trying to get him back in the storylines. And it's just awkward. I hope this feud continues to no mercy.
You want to see where they can go when they can actually do things. Will Luke Harper appear? Is one of the questions that is out there. He's being training ready to be cleared to get back in.
Yeah, he reported to the Performance Center this week to start training. It's stated that he's slated to come back very soon, but it's not determined when he's coming back. So nobody really knows anything about that yet. But it's very possible he could come back Sunday. we don't know how ready he is. We don't know what how he's been doing in physical therapy. Obviously, it shouldn't take him long to knock off the ring rust. And if he's just going to interfere in the match, like he did last year with Ambrose, last year with Roman, he shouldn't have to do much. It's more just making sure his knee is ready to go. That being said, this is hard to pick. This is really hard to pick because we don't have a lot to go off of.
I'm going Bray Wyatt in the first part of it.
I'm going to agree. I think Bray needs the win. Bray needs the win more than Randy. You can always have Randy come back at No Mercy and beat Bray, but it's like you can't count the loss to Lesnar because everybody loses to Lesnar. So it's like for Orton, it's like it's not really a big deal to lose to Brock Lesnar because everybody does. It's just it's the thing. That's what everybody does. So Bray needs a win. He needs a singles win desperately because they didn't even do anything with the New Day feud once the brand split occurred. So yeah, Bray Wyatt, whether it's interference or he wins clean, he really should win clean. Bray. Please God, Bray.
The video game has Bray Wyatt winning. Outlook not so good for Randy Orton being Bray Wyatt, so 8-Ball has Bray Wyatt. Brings us to the main event for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles challenges Dean Ambrose. Okay, so this is AJ's third shot at the WWE Championship this year. He's come up short twice so far.
Yep.
He's coming off the biggest win of his career against John Cena.
Yep.
At SummerSlam.
Yep.
The momentum is pointing at AJ Styles. Should the belt point there as well?
I think it should. I think to have AJ lose is a mistake because you can't have him come off a win against John Cena, a clean win against John Cena, only to lose to Dean Ambrose. I get Dean Ambrose is your champion. I get he's the guy that you're making, that you're pushing, but they're pushing AJ Styles harder. And Dean Ambrose is always better when he chases because then he has something to go for. Once he has the title, he kind of stagnates a little bit. And, you know, it's like Ambrose won the title at Money in the Bank. He's had a nice little run. He's established the title on SmackDown. I think they're ready to give AJ a shot. And honestly, you can have Ambrose and Styles feud. And you can kind of do a little back and forth between Ambrose and Styles in terms of who's going to be basically the face that runs the place kind of thing. So there's that. But I say it's like you can't have AJ Styles go for the title for a third time in a year and lose.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I like Dean Ambrose as WWE champion, but he has not set the world on fire just yet. He's actually missing a little fire right now. It just feels like he's gotten comfortable, as it were, as champion. And that's not a bad thing, but it's also not a very good thing at the moment.
I don't think it's that he's gotten comfortable. It's that you haven't had that competitor that challenges Ambrose.
Dolph Ziggler was a terrible opponent for Dean Ambrose. It hurt him at SummerSlam.
I think what made Ambrose's win so great when he did win the title was it was against Seth and Roman. And there's such a history there between Seth and Roman and Dean. And it's just that it was always believed that Seth and Roman were better than Dean, that he could never beat them. And he finally did. He finally bested both of them in one night to win the title. And they really bring out the best in each other. And you need to find that partner for Dean now where they do bring out the best in each other and they just pull these really phenomenal matches out of each other. And
AJ will be the guy to pull out a phenomenal match out of Dean Ambrose.
Pun intended.
Pun very intended.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, I think, because Amber said it, the one time he's ever faced Styles, he beat him. Dean's cocky. Dean's confident. But so's AJ. And AJ had John Cena's number. And Dean Ambrose wasn't able to beat John Cena.
So I have a long-term idea of what could happen. AJ Styles will eventually win the WWE Championship. He will defend it one more, he would defend it against Dean Ambrose. And say, Survivor Series or TLC, whenever it is, John Cena returns and challenges AJ Styles for the belt, and AJ puts the nail in the John Cena coffin and establishes himself as WWE champion by defeating John Cena. That would really make AJ Styles. I could see that happening after this week, where I know Cena won't be at Backlash, but he could be at SmackDown, because he's been in every SmackDown. They can bring him back to TV. And, you know, you do Cena and AJ one more time for the WWE title at No Mercy, and send John Cena officially on his way. Because he isn't left yet.
No, not yet.
So, I think that would be a good way to do things there, possibly. In this one, she mentioned you can't have AJ lose three times. He can't come up short. Especially he lost clean twice for the title. A third clean loss would suck. Could I see him losing by disqualification here? Yeah. I could see someone kicking someone else in the balls and then going controversy leading to No Mercy. But I want to see a clean winner, so I'm going with AJ Styles wins the WWE title.
So I think that does it.
Who are you going with? AJ?
Yeah, AJ.
Okay, so the Magic 8-Ball went with Dean Ambrose. The video game went with Dean Ambrose. Now, before we go, I have one more question for you.
Oh, God.
Will CM Punk win Saturday night?
Probably, just because that's how fate seems to go, but I'm not going to lie. I really kind of want to see him get his ass beat.
So your official prediction is CM Punk wins?
Yes. I hate saying that. I hate picking that. I don't want to pick that. I think it's going to come down to decision. I don't think it's going to be a KO.
I'll go CM Punk as well. I don't want to, but I get this feeling he's going to win. But the Magic 8-Ball says no. CM Punk will not win. Very doubtful that he will win.
Oh, 8-Ball, I hope you're right.
We all hope that the Magic 8-Ball is correct. So before I do the outro stuff, we're just waiting because here's the sounder.
Wow, that was wide. That was so wide. Your final score update. The Panthers try to kick a field goal with 4 seconds left in the game. And the sucker is wide left. Missing the field goal post by about a mile. The Panthers are heartbroken. The Broncos are ecstatic. Denver beats Carolina. 21-20. Go, Denver, go. So it's the Super Bowl rematch where, once again, Cam Newton is denied.
Crazy, crazy game to end it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's amazing that Carolina came back. Denver was able to hold them off. So congratulations to the Denver Broncos as regular season football is underway, but you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
This is going to be a fun season here on the Rack, because we're going to be covering them all as we know we're live. Just saying. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern with Heartbreak Mike, Tim Stein, and the Omega recapping WWE Backlash. Monday Night Raw, the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay Ward is back to help me do the Raw Post Show.
Yes, sorry, I had friends in town. Sorry.
We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. Coming soon, The Rack Extra Dragon Con edition. Coming soon, The Rack Extra Total Bellas this October. And maybe if Delete or Decay WTR Riff. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, go to YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, and watch all the WWE 2K16 simulations of Backlash. And we may do a live stream of a playthrough. I don't know. Let's see what time allows and stuff.
I haven't decided yet.
At Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, Twitter, or Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork to join WTR Pick'em for Backlash. Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, search Wild Talk Radio Network or Rack Radio Show, only the Rack Radio Show. Tune in radio available all the time at Wild Talk Radio Network. Search it out. Free. You listen on the go.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very awesome sponsors, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, gerwick.net, and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at instagram.com/mbg1211.
Hold on. Lootcrate.com/mbg1211. Use MBG to save 10% on your WWE Loot Crate.
Ding! Do the thing. Matt will appreciate it. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!